The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Gerry Boland is with me first though. Gerry is an animal advocate and founder of Animals Behind Closed Doors. And the reason we're speaking is because on Saturday there's a protest happening outside Dublin Zoo. Protesters calling for an independent investigation into concerns about animal welfare. So a number of allegations have been made by, I think, about 17 different whistleblowers, or 17 allegations by a number of whistleblowers. A report was carried out by the National Park and Wildlife Service and it cleared the zoo of any wrongdoing. But the question has been asked, and the question will be asked by these protesters, whether there is a role for zoos in modern society or whether they are a Victorian throwback. Gerry, what do you think?
Thanks for having me on, Kieran. Well, first of all, not that I'm so much I want to disassociate myself with the protest. I fully support it, but I'm not involved in it. I'm talking to you because I suppose I've had a long-standing argument, I suppose, against zoos in general. Like, going back to the early 90s, I was involved in an organisation called the Alliance for Animal Rights. And for a number of years, we campaigned outside the zoo and in town. And I was on the radio a lot debating the then director of Dublin Zoo, Peter Wilson, about it. And I've always held the view, well, not always, but for most of my life, that essentially, when you boil it down, even with the, I suppose, progress that zoos have made, and Dublin Zoo in particular, when you boil it down, essentially Dublin Zoo is an animal prison. And all zoos in the world are essentially that, or almost all of them. And I say that because it's very rare for any animal in any zoo to be reintroduced successfully into the wild. That was always a difficult thing to do anyway, because you're breeding them in captivity and then you're trying to reintroduce them into the wild. But in these days, as all of your listeners will know, the wild is rapidly disappearing. So the chances of reintroducing apart from just a tiny minority of them into the wild, just isn't going to happen. So this is the zoo. There's, you know, as you'll all know, all your listeners will know, the zoos came into place, into being well over 100 years ago, 150, 200 years ago, with the purpose of entertainment, to show people animals they'd never seen before. But nowadays, you know, zoos claim that their raison d'etre is both an educational purpose and a conservation purpose. Now, in my view, I was in Dublin Zoo here on 2 weeks ago, just coincidentally, because I hadn't been there for a long time, and I felt I needed to go just to see all the quote-unquote improvements that have been made. And while not denying that there have been improvements made, I was there for 3 hours with a colleague of mine, and both of us found it a deeply depressing experience. Things haven't changed that much. Some of the enclosures obviously are much larger, but at the end of the day, we're still looking at wild exotic animals that have nothing to do most of the day, in fact all of the day. So to give you one case in point, we came quite early on what are called dholes, D-H-O-L-E-S. They're Asiatic wild dogs. They are endangered, but they're predator animals. They hunt in packs and they go deep into dense forests. Now, we stood there for, I'd say, 20 minutes watching all the children and their parents going by, getting bored within 30 seconds and they're walking off again. And all of those animals were just walking up and down, completely oblivious to anything that were going on. They were like automatons. They had nothing to do. They were it was kind of like psychotic behavior, like the polar bears 30 years ago, but not as obvious. But that's essentially what they were doing. And they presumably, because they were doing it for 20 minutes that we were there, presumably they do that all day. So this is what this is what zoos are. They're, you know, they keep animals in captivity. They try to create a natural environment. They give it fancy words like Himalayan hills and African savanna and gorilla rainforest. But that's just a joke. That's just branding. Because, you know, we don't have Himalayan hills or African savannas in Ireland.
The argument then that some defenders of the zoo might make, I would wager, is not necessarily to defend those enclosures, or that they are akin to kind of the natural environment, that they're kind of an ersatz version of it at best, but that the money that the zoo makes, a lot of it goes into conservation projects. So they've got, I think, about 25 projects in Ireland and worldwide. They've got breeding programs and all of this stuff, all of that good work is funded by the likes of zoos.
Yeah, but that's if you accept, and I know a lot of people do, but I don't. That's if you accept that it's ethically okay to keep animals alive, their species alive, into the indeterminate future. But the only way of doing that is keeping them in confinement for their entire lives. You see, I see animals as individuals. And like the animals are paying a heavy price to keep a species alive. And in any case, as I said at the beginning, reintroduction into the wild simply isn't going to happen. I would argue, and I know it's a complex debate and there'll be loads of people involved in the kind of what I might call the industry phoning in saying, I don't know what I'm talking about. So I do accept that, you know, I'm not an expert on this. But as far as I'm concerned, the money should be going in to making creative, sustainable, long-term agreements with the countries. You know, and there are problems. There are political problems, conflict problems. I understand all of that, corruption problems. But with the countries, if there was, you know, to have very, very, very large kind of animal sanctuaries where these animals can live out their lives in the environment they're in. I see a role for Dublin Zoo, says he arrogantly, but I do see a role for Dublin Zoo, which is a sanctuary for the many species of animals and birds, etc., but animals, I suppose, that are native to Ireland. Because that's, you know, that's where we should be conserving the animals. We should be conserving, making sure that we don't lose our own species, and not having elephants and hippos and rhinos and giraffes. Like the giraffes, Ciarán, are let out, I think, in the morning into this big, big space, which is basically just bare now. And we inquired, because it started to rain quite heavily when we were there, and we inquired one of the keepers, are they able to go back into their enclosure? And they're not. No, the gates were locked. So they were kind of all huddled under, you know, a pathetic looking tree. Like, this is the nature of Dublin Zoo. And I know it's a very unpopular thing to say because people are very fond of Dublin Zoo. But the reality is, like, that I'm very interested when I go to Dublin Zoo, Ciarán, in watching the people going there. And I would say that their educational information is pathetic in the modern age. All it is are these large-scale, what we call boards. Like, they're nicely done and there's lots of information on them. But I'm not lying when I say this to you. In the 3 hours that I was in the zoo, I didn't see one child, one young person, stop and read one of those.
Yeah, listen, I'd want to kind of pile up on Dublin Zoo, but I'd find it hard to disagree with that. And that's human nature. Most of the people going to Dublin Zoo are going there as a family. They're going with kids, you know, notwithstanding your own kind of research purposes for being there, Jerry. And like, I have not met a child yet who will stop and read a chalkboard that tells them information about a gorilla when there's a gorilla 5 meters away.
Yeah, and what you need is what you need is something modern.
It's like kids, creative. Hey, kids, stop looking at that lion. Read this about the lion. I'm sorry.
Yes, that's just not, and a lot of the time the line isn't to be seen. Yeah, because, you know, obviously they just go away and they're not, you know. So thankfully, at least in the old days, they'd know where to escape to. But now they do, you know, they do. So a lot of the larger animals simply weren't able to be seen. But you see, the other thing about this educational part of it, I don't believe that it's a good education for children to show them wild animals, exotic animals in captivity. I don't think that's a good example.
Really, because that's the argument made, is that it gives an appreciation for kind of the variety of wildlife that's on the planet and what we should do to preserve it.
It doesn't. It gives them entirely the wrong thing. And in any case, the wildlife documentaries that have been available for a couple of decades now are astonishing, and they teach you far more. And so the idea that you have to actually see an animal up close to appreciate it and then suddenly get interested in biodiversity, that's not the case. That doesn't work that way. You have to stimulate the children, and you won't stimulate them by bringing to a zoo where half the animals can't be seen and where the rest of the animals are totally bored. And that is reflected by the fact that the kids generally spend about 30 seconds at each enclosure and then off they go.
Do kind of entomologists and other experts learn more about these animals by being able to observe them close up in a zoo-like environment? And then that can be applied out in the field to protect others in their native habitat. So, you know, there's, I guess, you're kind of, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. A few of the animals end up in an enclosure, but then many more are safe because of what we learn from those in the enclosure.
Again, that's a good argument. But if that happened in another place and in another environment, not in a country like Ireland, you know, there are plenty of ways to look at and examine and explore, and the wonderful animals that we have out there, and they're incredibly interesting and diverse ways of behavior, etc. But none of, like, the behavior is completely suppressed. So you're not going to really learn much by looking at, one of these wild Asiatic dogs walking up and down all the time. You're not going to learn much except that it shouldn't be there. Like, the obvious lesson you learn for that, and I got from that, is that it shouldn't be there in the first place. That's the obvious lesson.
So is the solution, as you see it, Jerry, then, that these animals are transported to much bigger enclosures in their native habitat, and that's kind of the model going forward? Or are we too far gone in terms of their captivity and their acclimatization to the Irish environment that you just no longer breed the animals in Dublin Zoo and let them die out?
Well, it would have to be that. Obviously, you couldn't release those animals that are in the zoo back into the wild. They wouldn't last a minute, I presume. So because you'd be releasing them from, you know, a small enclosure where they've been captive into, you know, a wild enclosure. That wouldn't. So it would be obviously this is not something. Sorry, it's not as if I'm going to be making the decision. But if a decision was being made, it would be done over a period of time. And, you know, the animal, those that could be released into a sanctuary, for instance, especially there are specialist sanctuaries in different countries of the world that specialise in particular animals. So, they, you know, some of them could be moved to specialised sanctuaries and then some of them could just be allowed to die off naturally. And then you phase it out. And as you're phasing it out, you redesign and reinvent the whole place and turn it into a beautiful animal sanctuary for native Irish animals. I think that would be a nice way to go.
The zoo is a dismal prison, says one of our listeners. The poor animals, profoundly depressing experience and unethical. Most animals hiding from the people gawping at them. But this listener says, Jerry is anthropomorphizing the animals. How does he know they don't prefer confinement versus the awful reality of being hunted by predators in the wild?
Well, I don't, but I don't think your listener does either. But I'm just using common sense. I've got to this stage in my life by using my common sense. It's like, you know, it's like if when somebody turns a meat-eating argument into, well, how do you know that the carrots don't feel pain? You know, we have to use our common sense here. And like anybody who has any sense going to Dublin Zoo and spends more than 2 minutes and actually spends 15 minutes looking at an animal will quickly realise, apart from some of the animals, they're not, you know, some of the animals have reasonably okay enclosures where at least they're, you know, at least they're busy. They're busy things because they're busy kind of animals and they can be busy. But, you know, the cheetah, for instance, oh my God, the cheetah. That was so depressing seeing the cheetah just walking up and down along a fence for 15 minutes, just walking up, turning back, walking up, turning back. Oh my God, how is that conservation or how is that educational?
Jerry Boland, animal advocate and founder of Animals Behind Closed Doors. Jerry, thanks a million for speaking to us on the show. One listener says, what should we do if we close the zoo? Do we kill all the animals as they cannot be integrated into the wild? Wonders Chris. Somebody else says, zoos have a role to educate young people on how their lifestyles affect the habitats of wild animals. Zoos need to up their game in this regard. What about safari parks? Wonders somebody else. Maybe they would be okay. So lots of people getting in touch. Most of them defending the zoo, it has to be said. I'm kind of torn a little bit on it. I find it hard to disagree with any of Jerry's logic, if I'm being entirely honest about it. But like most people, I've got this emotional connection to the zoo, and it's probably just a bit of nostalgia. I haven't been there as a kid with my own parents and haven't brought my kids there. But like I say, I mean, it is difficult to disagree entirely with what Jerry is saying.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.